Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Think Again Radio Network, broadcasting to you live on Blog Talk Radio, Mondays to Fridays between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Join us Mondays for Divine Journeys at 11 a.m. with Karen Anderson, Angel and Energy Therapist. At noon, Walks with Thunder with Andy and Terry. On Tuesdays at 11 a.m., Bell's Light with Bell Marshall, Lightworker, Intuitive, and Spiritual Coach. At noon, Think Again Radio with John Hodge or Christmas Miller. On Wednesdays at 11 a.m., The Joy Cafe with Shannon Fox, Spiritual Counselor and Clairvoyant. And at noon, Gateway for the Golden Age with Elizabeth Ann Hill, author, radio host, and travel host. On Thursdays, it's Rock My Soul Radio at 11 a.m. with Dr. Mo, otherwise known as Maurice Tremel, a retired therapist. At noon, the Higher Self Radio Hour with Mary Beth Wren. On Fridays at 11 a.m., Aligning with Spirit with Pamela Nine, Ph.D., spiritual intuitive and medium. And at noon, Dynamic Transformations with Mark Patterson, sound healer and clairvoyant medium. Join us, won't you, for the very best in spiritual, inspirational, and personal growth radio, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Good evening and welcome to Dynamic Transformations. Mark Patterson. Wednesday night, we are here, and we have with us Tim Link, who is an animal communicator. He's going to talk about communicating with animals. And Tim, are you with us?
Yeah, Mark, I'm here. I'm pleased to be with you guys tonight.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. So I got to tell you a story because I think it's interesting. You know, I've experienced psychic phenomena since I was a child, and you know, I had a lot of psychics say that I had abandonment issues, and you know, I thought I had worked a lot of those out. I did a lot of healing with my relationship with my father, and in 1995 or 96, one night I had this dream that my dog that I had when I was 2 years old, Tim, who I hadn't thought about in 20 years, came back to me in my dreams, and I woke up crying. I mean, and so that for me, that was like, oh, it wasn't about abandonment of you know, like a parent leaving you. It was I loved that dog so much, and it was taken away from me. You know, that's so. And I think sometimes it's true that we do love our animals more than we do love people, you know.
Well, sometimes it's a lot easier to get along with them, and they don't backtalk you unless you listen very closely. But it's obvious with your pet, you formed a very close bond with the dog at a very early age, and obviously there was separation there before the time was allowed for the dog to be able to do what it had set out to do, which was his mission to come into your life and come into your family, and so you guys were torn apart. So even years later, after this dog has probably moved on to other families and moved on to the other side and transitioned over, coming back to you and providing that healing and trying to provide you some additional closure.
Right. I hadn't thought about that. It was like a little dachshund, it was a Jack Russell Terrier. It was, we call them pups. And, you know, I hadn't thought about that dog in over 20 years. And, you know, just out of the blue, it came back to me. And, you know, it was a profound healing experience. So I think that it was a very interesting experience that I had. So
yeah, exactly. Well, obviously, you know, all these energies are here to serve purposes and to do healing, and they're always there for us even after they transition. They're always there for us to come back and help us in any way that we need them to.
So Tim, we talked about this last. You know, I talked a little bit last night, and you know, most of us in the spiritual new thought realm believe that we incarnate over and over again. We come back many lifetimes, that we've been here before, we'll be here again. Do you think animals come back with us? Do you think that they come through us again, or that they pass on and they come back many years later or in different lifetimes?
Oh, definitely so. Definitely so. I know it. You know, I know it to be true. I've experienced animals that I know I've had in the past, and I've heard this from many, many of my clients as well. And you have to believe it's true. And the fact that if you truly believe that we're all source energy or God energy, and we're all made up of the same energy source, and we take on a body here on Earth, whether it's a human body or an animal body or whatever it is here on Earth, then there's no reason not to think that once we transition over and we go through our regeneration cycle to get our energy back up to form, that we can't come back again and take on the body that we choose for our next mission here on Earth. And so animals are exactly the same way. They come down, the energy comes down, they choose the form that they want to be in, they choose the family or the group or the area that they want to be in, and they have a specific mission just like us to fulfill here on Earth. And they work daily to fulfill that mission, whether it's to be a healer, to be a teacher, to teach someone love, whatever their mission is, they work diligently to try to fulfill that mission. And then once they've accomplished that, they're ready to transition, regenerate their energy, and come back for their next mission if they choose.
Now, this is interesting because, in the past few years, I don't have the exact year, but, of course, Robert Redford's movie, The Horse Whisperer, came out. And then there's Caesar, who's on Oprah a lot, the dog communicator. There's in the past few years, there seems to be a lot of interest in communicating with animals. And for some reason, it seems to be everyone wants to have this experience with dolphins. Can you talk a little bit about dolphins and your experience with dolphins, and why is it there's such a human interest in communicating with dolphins?
Right. Well, I think our experience with dolphins, goes back to the fact that obviously they're very intelligent animals, and we try to relate ourselves to very intelligent animals and learn from them. So when you're talking about dolphins, chimpanzees, those type of animals, they're very intelligent to begin with, and so we're drawn to them from that aspect. And you couple that with the fact of, everybody remembers Flipper. Everybody loves Flipper, and everybody loves what Flipper brought to the to our television sets and in the movies. So we have a very close connection with the dolphins. And they are able to communicate at a very high energy level, at a very different energy level than other animals are. And so we are drawn to that and trying to learn from that. And there are a lot of studies, both from a scientific world as well as from sort of the metaphysical, spiritual world, with working with dolphins. And so you're absolutely right, Mark. There are more and more people drawn towards that, more and more work being done. There are animal communicators working with dolphins on a regular basis to try to bridge that gap between, that telepathic gap between the human and the animal itself.
Right, right. So how did you get, how did you get involved in communicating with animals? Some people might make fun of it or it's ridiculous, but, we talked a little bit about this last night. In the book of Job, it says that if you listen to the animals, if you talk to the animals, they will talk to you. So it's not a old concept of, speaking with, or I should say it is an old concept. There's nothing new under the sun, but it's not something that's this new age prototype. It's been around. Native Americans have talked about it for years. So how did you get involved in communicating with animals?
Well, I've always been in love with animals since I was a small child and been associated with them. We always had dogs and we always had animals in and around our lives. But at that time, I really didn't pay much attention to my ability to be able to work with the animals and to feel comfortable around them, feel no fear whatsoever. I was just being a kid who loved to be around animals. And so going on 5 years ago, I went to a seminar about animal communications and I went with my wife. It was a birthday present for her. She wanted to go and see what it was all about. And I thought, well, it's animals and I'm interested, so we'll see what happens. And so we went through a series of working with animals at the workshop, using pictures to tune in and spend meditation time tuning into these pictures with these animals and trying to connect. And lo and behold, every single animal that we had there, every single animal that we had a picture of, I communicated with, hit it 100% right on the head, right from the get-go, and basically realized after that day that I had this ability, I had this gift presented to me that I could telepathically work with these animals and communicate with them. And it was quite a surprise. It was quite a surprise that I had no intention, had no idea this was going to happen, had no intention on making this my livelihood and doing this full time. And now since this time, more and more opportunities present themselves. I'm doing this on a full-time basis, providing animal communications and Reiki energy healing for animals. I'm the president of our local humane society here, so I'm exposed to even more and more animals. So it's very clear that my mission here on this earth is to work with these animals and help the human companions be able to communicate and relate and have a better relationship with their animals.
So, you know, there's been a lot of reports in the last 10 years, maybe it's just because of awareness, that, you know, like animals, especially dogs, because dogs are closest to us, dogs pulling their owners out of the out of a home in a fire, pulling the owner out of a car that's on fire, rescuing a dog or rescuing an owner from a hazardous situation, or alerting an owner if someone's trying to break in their house. Talk a little bit about an animal's mission in their life relationship to an owner, and that just seems to be, we hear more and more stories of that.
Yeah, definitely. And as I mentioned briefly before, you know, we're all brought down here for a mission. Us humans are just like our animals. We're brought here to fulfill a mission while we're in this body and in, on this plane. Unfortunately, us humans get tied up in things called ego and life and all the things that surround us on a daily basis, and we tend to lose focus of our mission and have to struggle most of our lives to try to figure it out. And at best, we fight, figure it out somewhere down the line, and we manage to focus on what the mission is. With animals, they don't have egos. They don't have the worry about, you know, do I have the biggest house or the biggest car in the neighborhood. They're brought down here. They know their mission. It's very clear. They find the family or the human companion that they're brought here to work with. Sometimes it's multiples, but they know who they're going to be helping and working with, and they know what that mission is. And so when you're talking about these heroic efforts that they make, well, they're making these heroic efforts for two reasons. One, the close bond that they have formed with their human companion, that they will do anything in the world to protect and help their human companion without question. And the second is, it is their mission to, in this case, could be to protect this person. Maybe it's to teach them if it's, we'll say, a fire in the house. Maybe it's to teach them about how to protect themselves and how to be aware of what's going on around them. There's certain missions that our animals are going to be able to teach us. And it's up to us to slow down and try to recognize how precious these animals are and try to identify what these missions are and what their purpose is on why they came into our lives.
Yeah. Do you find that more people, you know, the statistics on pet owners, that they have lower blood pressure rate, they live longer lives, and they seem to be happier. Have you read any of those studies, or are you, is that something that intrigues you?
Yeah, it's definitely intriguing, and the studies are out there. There's quite a numerous amount of studies that shows that it does lower blood pressure and longer lives. It adds on years to your life by having a pet. And if you take a look at it, you know, your domestic animal that's in your home, they do bring a calming influence to the home. They're always there to greet you. They're always happy to see you. They're always interested in sharing love with you, you know, and getting petted and calming you down. And that's one of the things that they bring, and that's one of the things they want to accomplish. While we're in our hustle and bustle every single day, a pet you come home to and spend some time with it, and it provides you love, will calm you down and calm your energy down to a level where they're at. And thus extend your life and the quality of life that you have while you're here.
So I'm just curious, what are some of the strangest things that you've heard an animal communicate with you?
Oh, boy. There's a wide gambit of what they want to talk about. A lot of times with my clients, you know, they have a set list of questions that they want answered from their pets that they have today or their pets that have transitioned. And sometimes the animals are always willing to answer those questions because they want to please their human companions. But sometimes they're just as interested to share, you know, what their favorite toy is or you know, what's going on around them, or they want their favorite treat. Or at other times, they'll show you things like medical conditions that they're having, troubles they're having within their bodies, or even identify areas that you're having in your bodies that you're not quite aware is happening. So you have to be very in tune with them. But, some of the most interesting pets, when we talk about an animal communicator, and if you're familiar with some of the communicators and trainers that you'd mentioned earlier, like Caesar Milan, it's typically you think of a domestic animal. You think of a cat or a dog, and maybe a horse, like with Horse Whisperer. But you never think about communicating with a snake or an insect or, an eagle outside, an animal that's in the wild. But through animal communications and getting down with your calming your energy down and forming a telepathic path with them, you can have those communications. So the most interesting creature I probably to date have had a conversation with was a praying mantis. We have a wonderful, beautiful house here in North Atlanta, and we've got a screened-in porch out back, and it's very, very nice and pleasant to be out there, and it overlooks this big garden, and it's quite serene and tranquil. And one day I went out there, and lo and behold, the beautiful praying mantis was on the screen, perched. Wasn't hiding in the bushes. It was just there right in the open. And I thought, well, this is quite interesting because usually when I've seen a praying mantis in the past, it's, usually in a bush or hiding out ready to collect, its meals or get protection, what have you. And so my wife, Kim, actually challenged me to have a conversation. She said, well, why don't you just have a conversation? I said, well, it's a praying mantis. How can I have a conversation with an insect? And she said, well, it's energy. If it's energy, practice what you preach. If it's energy and we're all made out of the same source, why can't you have a conversation with a praying mantis? Well, wives being wives, they're always right. And so I did. I opened up a communication path with the praying mantis. He had a very, cordial conversation with me, but basically didn't want to be bothered. I had mentioned to it that I would provide it protection, and all I had to do was come over to the side door, and I would let it in where we have a lot of tropical plants inside our screened-in porch, and there it could be protected and still receive its meals. Or if it wasn't interested, he could just mosey on his own way. And shortly after the conversation was done, he moseyed on his own way. He decided he didn't want to come into my screened-in porch with all my wonderful plants. And so the bond was there, the connection was there, I could understand and feel and hear what he had to say. And in return, it taught me another lesson that, we are all the source energy, we all come from the same God energy, and whatever form we take here on Earth, we're still living, breathing energy. And you just need to slow yourself down and listen to him, and you can have a conversation with any of the creatures.
Do you find that in your work that, people will say that butterflies represent transformations or dragonflies represent transformation? You see, a raven or a blackbird, it represents, psychic or intuitive abilities, or a falcon. When you go into Native American teachings, that animals have different medicine for us, and... Do you believe that's true? Or do you believe that God gives us signals using animals or messages?
Well, I think both of those are true. Actually, when you take a look at the Native American teachings, and you talk about the animal spirit guides or the totem guides, we're all guided by these animals. There are protectors. There's usually one or two. There's usually two in most cases that are with you at all times. There's one by land and one by air that is with you at all times to teach you and to guide you through your life. And you should go and learn about these animals and learn how to use them and work with them throughout your life because they are the teachers. In addition, there are additional animals that come to you sometimes for a short period of time, sometimes for a longer period of time, and then they'll disappear. And they're in the form of energy to teach you a lesson or get you through a hardship or whatever it may be. They're actually guides. And so when you take a look at that from the Native American standpoint, if you have not been on a shamanic journey, with one of the Native Americans to learn who your animal guides are. It's definitely a worthwhile opportunity to be able to do that and understand these guides and how to work with them. But there's also other indications. You know, God obviously put these creatures here for a purpose. And when you get in tune with them, you do have a direct connection not only with the animal itself, but you do form a what I call a, you know, a God connection. You understand better and your own spirituality. You understand where God is coming from, and you're able to connect and have a closer relationship with God.
So we have a lady in the chat room. She says that she just spent time with her brother's dogs, Pepper and Blackie. And what is it that they want to communicate to her or her brother?
She just spent some time with them. So she went for a visit, I'm assuming.
Right.
So I'm curious if she has any animals in her life, if she has any dogs in her life. Because I keep getting back.
Let me ask her in just a second.
Yeah, because I'm getting back some strong feeling that perhaps she has had a special animal in her life, and Blackie and Pepper are trying to tell her, give her some information about this past animal.
So in the past, yes.
Yeah, in the past, but not.
In the past, yes. It's Black and Pepper. And his name was Seiko.
Seiko. So Blackie and Pepper are trying to communicate that Seiko is still around. And actually, Seiko, if you've been considering a caller or a blogger, if you're considering getting an animal, another dog, take a close look around, because Seiko is back in form. He's back here. And he's not in the same form that you recognized or had him in presently. He is a dog again, but he's not in the form that you recognize him to be. So I believe Pepper and Blackie were trying to tell you that Seiko is back in form. If you're if you're choosing to take a look at another animal, you'll probably find another dog out there that is not in the same form but has a lot of the mannerisms that Seiko has had in the past.
What she wants to know, what form is a dog, is a cat, or
it's a dog. It's a dog. It's around the same size of a mid-sized dog. And it keeps showing me it's some sort of a black lab or black lab mix. But I'm curious to find out if she had, if the caller had been thinking strongly about Seiko in the past and thinking about getting another dog, because that seems to be why the energy that we call Seiko is now back in form, because it has heard her calling that it's time to get another dog.
And I've got another blogger that wants to know about her dog, Mingkoo, M-I-N-G-K-O-O. I'm trying to find out what she wants to know about the dog, but
okay.
Mingkoo. Oh, she had to put her down last year.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Mingkoo had been with her for a while, is what I'm picking up. She'd been with her for quite a while. There was some sort of I'm getting some sort of stomach, bladder, kidney, liver type thing, some sort of something around that area is what I'm picking up. What I'm picking up is she's doing well. She's still in energy form, so she's not come back for any sort of mission yet. She's there for you if you need her. All you need to do is think about her and think of the happy times and call her, and she'll be there for you and give you the support and love. She seems to be a real lover. I'm keep picking up that she got you through some tough times in the past. And she's always there. She's not back in form yet, though.
Yeah, I said that they were with, had it for 15 years. Recently, we had to unexpectedly put a cat down, and it was a very young cat, and it was always happy, always friendly, always playful. And then one day, we just looked at it, and out of the blue, it became very ill, and it really threw my wife for a loop. And when and the cat's name was Baby. And what we said is like, you know, we had four cats, and it was like, why wasn't the one that's annoying and always, why isn't it that one? You know, why did it have to be the nice, sweet one? You know, so.
Well, maybe the ones that are annoying are there to teach you a different kind of lesson, how to handle annoyance. But, yeah, but with Baby, I'm curious, did you get Baby before you started your family? Or was this a cat that came to your life? You had
that
not
was
been
just,
on getting his cat.
Yeah, we've been together for about 3 years, and Baby was 3 years, just before Tiffany and I were together.
Yeah. So you, Baby was with you before you guys got together.
She was with Tiffany before we got together, my wife.
Okay. And then she shortly passed after you and Tiffany got married and started your
life. It was right around the same time as the birth of our new daughter.
Okay. So that is exactly what I was receiving. So Baby's purpose was to attract you two together, pull you two together because you were meant to be together, and teach you, you know, get you through your early days, teach you love, teach you how to get you situated for the opportunity to start a family. And then when that time came and she had you in a good place, that you were, you know, started your life together and got you in a good place, then it was time for her to move on. And though it was the window was very short, it was only 3 years, this is something a baby typically does quite often. She's one of the teachers that I like to refer to that come into our lives right at the beginning stages of our lives, whether it's coming into a relationship, starting a family, or starting some sort of new career or inspirational path. And she's here to just get you to that calming point where you've got a part of your life started and ready to go, and then she'll transition out. And so she does this quite often, and she obviously did it for you and Tiffany.
So what is it that you recommend to people that have been attached to their pets or their animals? Maybe they've been with they've been with the family for 12 years, 15 years, and the pet makes their transition. How is it that you can help them grieve that loss?
Well, one of the things that I try to let people know, because I did have a client that actually her dog just passed away a couple of days ago, and I've been working with her for quite a while, and it's heartbreaking because obviously they're a big part of your family and a big part of your life. No matter how many years they're with you, they become you become emotionally attached to them. They are definitely your family, and they are brought here to be part of your group. So you do have to go through the proper mourning state, and you have to cleanse yourself of the anguish that happens with any transition. But the thing to realize with animals is the fact that they definitely stay focused on what their purpose and mission is, and their mission usually is to get an individual or a family unit in a better place, get you to a better place before they transition. And if you just take some time and reflect back of all the wonderful things that this animal did for you in your life, and reflect back thinking, you know what, this animal did get me to a better place. This animal did see me through a lot of hard times. So it's a very positive thing. Think about those positive things and what the impact of that animal has done for you in your life, and honor that. And another thing, that just to do the mending process, put your favorite picture of your animal, the best one you had, the one you feel the closest connection to, put it in a nice frame. Put it near the urn if you choose.
Me or ask about my dog.
Okay, Tim, I've got a caller on the line, so hold on a second.
Yeah,
caller 718 area code. What is your question for Tim?
Hello?
Hello, caller.
Hello. I have a question. I just wanted to know if I had my dogs around me. I had two dogs in the past, actually three, and I felt like one of them was around me at times.
Yeah, did you have some sort of a who was the larger dog?
The larger one would have been Snoopy. That was a dog I had a long time ago.
Yeah, I still see Snoopy coming back around. Snoopy transitioned. Was Snoopy the first one that transitioned?
Yeah, that was when I was real young.
Yeah, and since then you've had some other dogs that have come along. I think Snoopy is telling me that Snoopy keeps bringing other dogs into your life, reintroducing new dogs to your life during certain parts of your life. Have you had some changes in your life recently?
Yeah, when I was growing up, then I had another one named Randy, and he was with me for at least like 17 years.
Yeah, it seems like Snoopy is the one that tends to bring the animals back into your life. And so Snoopy's been around a lot recently. Do you have any dogs right now?
No, I don't. Actually, I haven't had any dogs for about, 15 years.
Yeah. So I'd say if you're thinking about getting a dog, Snoopy will put that projection out there, put that thought out there, and Snoopy's very in tune with that, and Snoopy will pick up on that and present the right and perfect dog for you. If you're not thinking about getting a dog, then I would probably stay away from all the adoption fairs and rescue groups, because I think Snoopy's prepping one for you.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much ready. And it was so funny because I was just thinking, I've been told before that I think there's a dog energy around me.
Snoopy tends to hang around you. That was a very strong connection, and Snoopy still is there and hangs around, which is a positive thing and sort of preps you for when you think you're ready for the next animal, the next dog, then all of a sudden you won't even have to ask. You won't even think about what kind of dog it is because it'll just appear.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
So,
Mark, there you go.
Okay. Along those lines, you know, like me, I love animals. I love dogs. In fact, I kind of made a difficult choice for the dog. I adopted a dog that was, you know, that was beaten pretty bad and kind of helped it turn the corner. It was, became very level, and it's a pit bull. And we all know that pit bulls have, really bad reputations. But I'm telling you, Tim, it is the most friendly, loving dog I've ever experienced in my life. And everyone comes up to it. Everyone pets it. Everyone just talks about how beautiful she is, how amazing she is. And I ended up giving the dog to my dad, and I did that for a couple reasons, because I was kind of in transition between Sedona and San Diego, really wasn't sure where I was going to live at, and my dad was going through some major health issues. And I got to tell you, Tim, that, and he admits this, that she really helped him kind of on that road to recovery, because we didn't think he was going to make it. This was in 2002, so he's had my dog for 6 years now. And it was a big part of the healing process. So would you talk a little bit about your insights into my dog that, was obviously, my feeling was that, as a pit bull, the owner was probably expecting it to be more aggressive, and it wasn't, and kind of, took it out of the dog and abandoned it. And then having to give it to my father, and it ended up being a really great situation for him.
Right, definitely so. Well, there's two things here I'd like to broach to talk about. The fact that, first of all, let's talk about the breed, the pit bull. You're absolutely right. They've gotten such a bad reputation. I was talking to some people the other day about this, and when I was growing up, I'm 43 years old. When I was growing up, it was not the pit bull. Nobody even heard of a pit bull. It was the Doberman Pinscher. And before that, it was the German Shepherd. And after the Doberman Pinscher, it was the Rottweiler. And so we sort of go through these trends of, oh, my gosh, the Doberman Pinscher is the worst, animal around. It'll tear your leg off. You don't want any part of it. And then that fades away when people start to know that they're very highly intelligent dogs, and they'll protect when they need to, but most of all, they just want to provide love. And then we go on to the Rottweiler, the same thing. And then most recently is the Pit Bull. And these animals are not mean-spirited. They're not. The only time they become aggressive is when they're around aggressive human beings. And those human beings are teaching them to be aggressive. They're feeding them negative energy constantly. And the only way they can survive is to be aggressive. But they're absolutely wonderful, wonderful dogs. They're very loving. They're great with kids. And so I'd encourage people to take another look at what the pit bull is really all about. But the second part that's interesting to me is the fact that, you had some contemplation about, you were in a transition part of your life and you really didn't want to give up the dog, but you knew you couldn't take it necessarily on, when you're going from Sedona to San Diego and where you were moving to, so you just gave it to your dog. But I think the proper way to look at that is the fact that look at the result at the end. And it was actually on purpose that this dog was there to heal your father, to provide it love, provide him companionship, to get him into a situation where he was feeling better about himself, he was healthier, and your relationship, I'm wanting to say, is probably a lot closer with your father than through all this than perhaps what it was before.
Right, right, and that's true. And I think it, you know, overall, it was a you know, just an overall win-win for you know, everyone involved. And of course, he has ruined her in the sense that he ate too much food. And she went from being a very beautiful dog, well, she's still a beautiful dog, to a very plump dog. So.
Well, I know how that is. My family, we when I was growing up, all of our dogs were sort of outside dogs. We lived in a very, very small house, and there were the my mom and dad and my two sisters were in the house, so we had very little room to move around. So no animals were allowed inside. And my dad grew up one of 13 kids. And so he had to quit school early to go work on the farm. And so to him, you know, dogs especially were outside. They were farmhands. They were out there for a purpose. And cats were out there to, you know, get the mice out of the barn. But amazingly enough, as years went by and the kids grew up and moved on, they found this, they adopted this wonderful little Pomeranian and loved this animal, kept it inside, did everything with this Pomeranian. Could not believe this was the same man that I grew up with. Turned into a complete love bug over this dog. Unfortunately, yeah, he couldn't say no to the dog, so the dog's typical diet was boiled beef liver and chicken every night with additional treats on the side. And unfortunately, the dog's body wasn't able to keep up with all that and did leave a little bit early. But it provided them a great deal of love, and it brought out a character that I did not recognize. And my father brought out the loving side of him instead of the man who was there to, you know, just put the food on the table. So they're great teachers. They're great teachers. But you do have to watch how you feed them. Treat them well. Treat their temples as well as you treat your own.
Do you think that sometimes animals who are really close to us and have been with us for, 10 years, 12, 15 years, and we develop some type of illness, do you think that they absorb some of that illness and take it on for themselves?
Yeah, they do. It's not only with an age and time. I have situations where people have asked me to work with their dogs and their cats and perform, you know, do the Reiki energy healing for them and get them comfortable because they're going through some sort of ailment. And when I start communicating with the animal and start understanding the family unit a little bit better, I tend to find out there's a lot of dis-ease within the family unit itself. And animals have picked up on that energy, and obviously it's made them ill themselves. And so the family unit, it's very important to get the human companion and the family unit in a very positive, high-energy level, get them good and healthy, because if you do that, that's going to keep your animals good and healthy as well. But they will pick it up, and it's very also keep a close eye on your animals because when they do start to develop some illnesses, there may be some things going on in you, even if there's not, you know, disease or turmoil in your household. There may be some things going on with you as their human companion that you don't realize is happening. And so if they're developing it, keep a close eye on yourself as well and get yourself in a good place.
So I have Alyssa, who's in San Diego in the chat room, and she had a cat as a childhood named Oliver, I think. I got to start to talk to you and listen to these people chatting. Hold on. Oliver, yeah, childhood cat named Oliver. Wanted to know if Oliver is still around or has come back.
I'm curious, Oliver, I keep getting this rather strong-willed cat, strong-willed tiger-type cat. I'm curious if that's the one I'm picking up is Oliver.
I'm waiting to
getting a response.
Orange tabby, yeah, strong-willed.
Strong-willed orange tabby. She's hanging around a tiger cat. She is in and around. She's there. She showed me something to do with the childhood. I'm curious if the caller had some sort of a, when they had Oliver, did they have some sort of illness themselves? Because I keep getting some sort of a heart or stomach sort of thing as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, but Oliver's spirit is still around. The energy is still around. I'm picking up a strong tiger cat around Oliver, but I'm not picking up. I'm not sure if Oliver is back in form as a tiger cat or if the transition is happening now back into form and is looking to enter the body of a tiger cat. But I'm getting some sort of Oliver's purpose there was some ailment going on. I'm not sure if it was with the caller or someone around the caller.
So, you know, it's interesting that we did the polio vaccine using chickens. We used the antibodies from chickens, and some doctors in Australia are playing with the idea that they could use the, again, I'm not a medical doctor, these comments I'm about to make have not been endorsed or approved by the AMA or FDA or the CIA. There are some doctors in Australia who believe that AIDS could be treated with vaccine using horse's blood because the antibodies of the horse, they seem to be effective. But, again, that's in Australia where they have a different medical system. But I think it's interesting that, you know, the animals might be, the antibodies of animals that don't share the diseases that we do might at some point in time be cures for some of these uncurable diseases like they did with chickens and with polio.
Well, exactly. And we use, you know, eggs for our flu shots that we get.
Right, yeah.
And so it's an excellent place to begin to take a look at. I'm not a proponent of animal testing, but if you can actually take the blood or the enzymes from an animal and see if you can solve some of the issues that seem to be developing in humans only, I think that's something we need to be taking a closer look at. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, I'm not a medical doctor either, but I do know that if animals can come down here and be healers for us from an energy standpoint, then why wouldn't they be healers in other fashions as well?
Right. And, you know, speaking of that, I know that they do a lot of things with, children that have MS. They do, like, horse rides, and the horses seem to help them improve their conditions. And, you know, with my work, I talk a lot about doing sound work with autism. Of course, this is National Autism Day. Jenny McCarthy's on Larry King right now talking about her son with autism and doing sound healing with autism. They do, like, children with MS or with, muscular disorders, they do swim to dolphins, and dolphins have a very profound healing effect on them. And I just think it's, you know, like with horses just have this really enormous heart that emits love, and I think dolphins do the same thing. How do you recommend that people be more open to these therapies that seem to be effective? They're not traditional, but they seem to be effective and seem to be producing some pretty amazing results, you know, in incorporating children with handicaps and disabilities with, like horses and dolphins and some other things, or just even getting them involved with, animals on a farm. It seems to be producing, you know, very, very good results.
Well, exactly. You know, I would encourage, you know, we're brought up with very traditional medicines and therapies, and, you know, we're taught at a very early age what will work and what won't work, and we have to take those wills and won'ts out of our vocabulary and be open and to try these different methods and modalities. And you have to realize these animals are here. They're made of pure love. They're made here to help us and to be with us and to teach us and to love us. So use them. Use them if you're going through a tough time physically. Don't use these animals as your teachers when you're going through a tough time emotionally. They can work wonders for you. So when we start talking about children going through these struggles, just being introduced and being around these animals, maybe animals that are not typically exposed to, at the very least, it's going to emotionally and mentally stimulate the child. It's going to open up their heart to know that this animal is going to love them and treat them no differently than any other human being. They don't look at their ailments. They don't look at their mental capacity or capabilities. They look at them as loving children, and those animals will treat that child with love and with respect. And in return, that child will also learn love and respect and how to love and respect themselves.
So are you when someone makes an appointment with you, what is it that you suggest? I mean, like that they meditate with their animal that before they call you, or what is the typical process of someone, you know, making an appointment with you?
Right. Well, typically what I ask them to do is, you know, get yourself in a good mental place, get in a good quiet zone for yourself and calm your energy down as well, because you're heavily involved in this animal's life. We're going to be asking you questions. The animal's going to be feeding me information to ask you, as well as you're going to be feeding me information to ask back down to the animal. So get yourself in a nice calming state and be ready for a nice, fun, casual conversation. And then whether I'm, you know, if I'm doing it in person, obviously we can have the animal there in the room, but they don't have to be, because we want the animal to feel comfortable that that I'm there and that we're going to have an open conversation. So if they want to be in a different room, they can do that as well. If it is over the phone and we're doing a phone consultation, I ask that just to forward me a picture of the animal ahead of time. It can be any picture. I don't necessarily have to have it to communicate with them, but it does form a closer bond. It does allow me to connect a little bit more with the animal. And basically, it's for selfish reasons. I love having as many animal pictures around as I possibly can. So we have a nice conversation. We get on the phone and we talk it up and talk about everything. Talk about what's going on in your lives and talk about what behaviors are happening with your pet. And we can do some Reiki energy healing while we're at it and get you both in a good calming state while we're having this conversation. So those are usually the two best methods. We can also do via emails. It's not as personable, but I understand everybody's lives are busy. So some people choose to, you know, send me a series of emails when we interchange communications through me email exchange. But there's several ways to do it. But just, it's just like having a calm conversation and a fun conversation with, you know, your animal and your best friend. And that's what I try to bring to the table.
So have you ever had an encounter where someone wanted to talk to you about their animal and the animal was like, "Hey, Tim, this owner sucks. Get me out of this situation." Have you ever had one of those?
Well, maybe not quite as colorful, but because they try to be tactful. But, yes, I've had that. Usually, though, it comes down to the fact that the animal wants to tell me that there's something going on with this owner, and the human companion needs to sort of take a look at themselves and what's going on in their lives. So, for instance, you know, I've had pets that are constantly getting into trouble. You know, they're digging in the trash. They're not doing their business outside. They're doing it on the inside. They're constantly causing havoc. And the human companion calls me and says, you know, "This dog's out of control. You either got to help me do something with this dog or we're going to have to get rid of it because I just can't handle it anymore." And so we open up a nice conversation, and we find out typically the animal is sort of mirroring what is going on in the household. There's some upheaval in the household, and the only way this animal can get the owners or the human companions to wake up to what's going on in the household is to cause the havoc themselves. So there's usually some sort of internal havoc going on with this individual. Maybe they're just not slowing down to take some quiet time and God time. Maybe they're just being frantic themselves, or there may be some things going on in their family household that is very frantic and causing a lot of angst with not only the animal but also with everybody in the household. So don't always assume that you've got a bad dog or a bad cat, because usually there's something else going on.
So you mentioned this a little bit earlier that you talked about you're against animal testing. do any of the organizations ever contact you to be a voice for the animals?
Well, I tend to be a voice for the animals. I am the, you know, I'm the president of the Forsyth County Humane Society, and Forsyth County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, let alone in the state of Georgia. So our population is growing dramatically. There's a lot of issues here with overpopulation of animals, especially with cats, and also the displacement of animals through the constant construction going on with the new homes and new retail developments here. A lot of animals are being displaced. So I try to do my part through being the president of this organization, which is a no-kill shelter in Forsyth County, Georgia, and we try to bring in the animals and work with them and get them into a place where we can get them into their permanent forever homes. In addition, I work closely with legislative issues going on throughout the country as well as here that impact the state of Georgia with groups like the Humane Society of the United States and the ASPCA. And so here in the state of Georgia, you know, we've got some major issues. Obviously, with the we got a lot of negative publicity last year with the Michael Vick issue, the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, and his dog fighting, pit bull fighting company or organization that he was running. And obviously a lot of these animals were being destroyed and being put in dangerous situations just for the pure enjoyment and money-making of a group that was already, or an individual who was already, a multimillionaire. But on the flip side of that, just real quick, though, is the positive that's come out of that whole terrible ordeal is the fact that now Georgia finally is in the process of passing their very first anti-dog fighting ban, where it makes it illegal to do dog fighting in the state of Georgia. And if this episode would have not have happened with such a prominent celebrity, then we may have not have chose those steps here in this state, at least.
Right. So when you hear like stories like that, you know, like dog fighting, and with, you know, Michael Vick, who was a very gifted athlete in the NFL. I know the other day on the news on CNN, there was some story about this house that had like 800 cats. And it's like, we have three. I can't imagine having 800 cats or animals in a premise, you know. How does that make you feel? I mean, that's just, to me, that's just, it's mind-blowing that people can be, I'm going to point this out because I was a psychology major, my undergraduate degree in psychology, and I took abnormal psychology. And, you know, one common denominator of serial killers is that they have all killed animals, or they've all had like in their childhood, they tortured animals. And so, to me, I just hear some things that happen to animals, because I do love animals, I just find it so disheartening.
Yeah, it is disheartening. You know, we do have the situations where people treat them as their property instead of a valuable part of their lives. And we've got to get out of that mentality, and we've got to move past that. We've got to open up our mind and be more spiritually conscious as a society to know how important these creatures are. With the individual who collected the 800 cats, you know, in our group as the Humane Society, you know, they are labeled to be hoarders. They just cannot say no to these animals. They want to save every animal on the earth. And we have to be, as much as I want to save every animal on the earth, you have to be pragmatic about it, and you have to be conscious in what you're doing, and you have to be responsible in what you're doing. And so by having 800 cats in your house, that's obviously not being conscious or responsible in what you're doing. But there are plenty of organizations that can help these animals out. You need to work and get these animals in the best position possible. I'm a huge advocate of spay and neutering. So your animals should be spay or neutered. Just give you an idea, an average cat, a female cat who is in a feral situation, who's, you know, in the wild, who has either been born in the wild or has been come out of a household or has run away from a household into the wild, that average female can produce 3 litters of kittens every year, and an average litter can be as many as 9 in a litter. So one cat that is not, in this case, spayed, can produce 27 cats in 1 year. And if all those cats happen to be female, it's very easy to do the arithmetic and understand how, you know, one cat can all of a sudden become 800 cats. And by just doing a simple procedure, spay and neuter, it's a, you know, it's a fairly non-invasive. You know, they do have to do surgery on them, but it's not all the veterinarians are trained to do this. It's an in-and-out procedure where they recover within a day or two. And most of the rescue organizations out there and places in your state, in my state, offer low-cost spay and neutering. So you can get a cat or a dog spay or neutered for as little as $15, and sometimes you can get it done for free. So it's something we need to do as human beings to be responsible and make sure that we are controlling pet overpopulation.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I also am, you know, what's coming to my mind now is like in Japan where they do the whale hunting, and it's mind blowing to me that more governments do not impose sanctions against the government of Japan for what I think is just horrendous crimes of brutality against whales.
It's amazing to me, but you know, it's all part of the political process. Right now, it's. In Canada, the big push right now is it's baby seal season. So you have these beautiful seals that are being born at this time of year. It's their breeding season. And the fishermen are authorized through the Canadian government to go out and kill these seals, bash them over the head, kill these baby seals, because these baby seals grow up and steal their fish. And thus the fishing industry struggles. So you have that point of, you know, how do you protect and who do you protect? To me, as an animal lover and as an animal rights advocate, I have a very hard time understanding why what gives us humans the right to be able to destroy a living creature that obviously God created.
Right, and whales are so, and also, you know, with dolphins getting caught in fishing nets and things like that. So what is it that you think that you would like to see people in regards, you know, with pets to be more aware of?
I think that we have to just be aware of what these pets and what these creatures really mean to us and what they bring to us on a daily basis. And just the pure love of these animals, the fact that they can extend our lives, they can make our lives a happier life while we're here. They provide unconditional love, and we just have to recognize that every day. And so in order, as an animal communicator, people ask me, well, how do you actually go about communicating with the animals? How do you do that? Well, one of the first steps that you need to do is to feel good about yourself, calm yourself down, get into your quiet zone, do your meditation, do your prayers, get in contact with your God connection, get yourself nice and calm, and then just sit with your animal. Sit quietly and just listen. And you'll be amazed at how much information you will pick up. And you won't know where it's coming from, but I guarantee it's probably coming from your pet. And us humans, unfortunately, we never slow down. Even when we lay our heads on our pillows at night, our mind's going 1,000 miles an hour. So all I encourage people to do is find the animal that's right for you. Find multiple animals that are right for you if possible. Sit down in quiet time, get centered yourself, spend some quiet time with your animal, and you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to enjoy it as well.
Do you teach people how to communicate with animals? Is that part of your practice?
Yeah, I'm doing more and more of that. I'm working on some workshops right now. I'm also working on completing a book. The book's more of not an educational book, but it's more of the tales that the animals tell me. I have a slogan which says, every animal has a tail, which is T-A-L-E, and they definitely have a tail because they all have something to say, and we should be listening to what that is. So take a look at the, if everyone takes a look at the website, my website is www.wagging-tails.com. That's W-A-G-G-I-N-G-T-A-L-E-S. And I'll give you a little bit about me and my history. I'll have a couple of tales on there. It'll tell you about some things that I'm doing. And keep an eye on that website. You can also sign up for my e-newsletter and announcements. And I'll tell you a little bit about the workshops that I'm planning, keep you posted on where those are going to be as well.
All right. Now, Tim, we've got about a minute left in the show. Do you want to give everyone your contact information once again, how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, once again, I appreciate it. Mark, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and your listeners. It was a great time tonight. I'd love to be able to do it again sometime. If you want to know more about me and what's going on, you can take a look at the website once again, which is www.wagging-tales.com. And I'll give you all the contact information. You can give me a call at 404-422-6355. And I'll be glad to help you out any way I can.
All right. Thank you so much, Tim. We're glad to have you on, and we'll talk to everyone soon. And I will finish up in the chat room here a little bit. All right. Thank you, Tim. Good night.
All right. Thank you. Good night.